This is the Dinner Party Download from APM. If you love the show, share it with your friends on Apple Podcasts or wherever else you get your podcasts.
So, Tobin, are you old enough to remember the Blade Runner movie?
I mean, it came out before I was born.
Of course it did.
Of course I know it. I know it.
All right, yeah. It's the Ridley Scott movie.
Exactly. Directed by Ridley Scott. It was set in the dystopian future Los Angeles of, like, 2019. Starred Harrison Ford as Blade Runner, a cop who would hunt down rogue replicants.
Yeah, which were like these robots that looked like humans. Do you know Blade Runner?
One of my favorites.
All right. Well, yeah, so basically they're coming out with a sequel called Blade Runner 2049, which you've probably seen the ads for.
Mm-hmm.
And it comes out this week, and the new film takes place 30 years later, and Ryan Gosling, not Harrison Ford, plays the replicant. It's directed by Denis Villeneuve, who directed, like, Sicario and Prisoners, these kind of grim police thrillers.
Mm-hmm.
And he most recently did the Academy Award-nominated Arrival.
Oh, with Amy Adams. Saw it. Loved it.
Yeah, saw it on an airplane. But luckily, before leaving for vacation, Rico met up with Denis at a press day for the film in a Los Angeles hotel, which is why we can have manicures and martinis. Say thank you to Rico.
Thank you, Rico.
Thank you, Rico. And they first talked about Denis' memories from the original Blade Runner, released back in 1982.
The first movie blew me away. I mean, it blew my mind. It's the movie I saw the most in my life for a very specific reason. It's just that the movie happened to open, and a few years later, it was the birth of the VHS technology, so you could own a movie yourself, you know, like a book. That was a revolution for me.
So you, like, just watch the tape over and over again.
Exactly. I remember how powerful this idea was for me, that I didn't need to go to the theater or to wait for months for the movie to be shown on TV. I could watch the movie when I wanted. Yeah. I watched that movie so many times.
How old were you?
About 14. And I remember the impact, the aesthetic impact of the movie at the time. One thing that was very strong in the first Blade Runner and that I had not seen before was this idea of stratification of time. You felt the past and the future, meaning that you could walk in the street in Blade Runner and see a car from the 80s in front of you, or you could see a computer and the old-fashioned television side by side. This idea that, like, in reality, the past was not totally erased. It was so brilliant.
So then they come to you and tell you that you're being courted to make the sequel for this movie that has such an impact on you. What was your first reaction when you heard that?
It's the story started a bit earlier. One day I was doing a movie, Prisoners, and Andrew Kosova and Broderick Johnson, the producer, were suddenly stopped the meeting and said, "We apologize, Denis, but we need to start another meeting because Ridley Scott just arrived." And just before closing the door, they said, "We're thinking about making a sequel of Blade Runner." Bang!
And I was like,
what? For me, it was like, oh, wow, what a fantastic bad idea. What an insane idea.
Why did it seem so crazy to you?
Because the first movie, for me, was like is a kind of masterpiece in its own genre. There's things like that you should leave alone. I mean, it's like, let's face it. In the history of cinema, there's not a lot of movies, sequels that have done well. I mean, I'm not talking about box office, I'm talking about the result, you know?
Sure.
There's The Godfather, that was a very strong sequel. There's like...
Jaws 2.
Yeah. But why, you know? Why you will do such a thing? But my mind changed when I read the screenplay.
I don't want to do any spoilers. And in fact, I've been warned that if I give any spoilers, I think I'll be killed. So I'm just going to ask in general... One of the main themes of this movie is talking about technology. And I was trying to figure out what the attitude is that you're trying to get across about technology. Because on one hand, there's a plot point involving the world losing all digital information. So mostly what remains is on paper, which seems to be a kind of anti-technological stance. But then you've got heroes who are robots, some of whom are actually, you know, more humane than humans. What do you want us to walk away with as far as our attitude towards technology?
I think that humility, to be more humble with nature and the danger of walking in that direction. We like to play God. We like to compete with nature. And I think that it's not a good thing. I think we should, like, go back to a more humble relationship with nature.
Would you consider yourself maybe tech positive? Are you much of a tech guy? I mean, you're in a very tech-savvy industry.
I love the one of the things I love about filmmaking is that it's like a dance between very old-fashioned technology and sometimes high-end technology. It's like One of the things I'm proud of is that the movie is really like an example of very old film techniques and also things that had not been done before.
What's the old-fashioned technique?
Well, to build the sets, to build everything. It sounds crazy today to say that, but that's the first thing that all the actors ask me. Will we be acting in front of green screens with green chairs and with green props for 6 months? We built all the sets, all the buildings, the apartments, the streets. We built the whole universe. I tried to have as much real things as possible in front of the camera. We did models for the city. It's almost a lost art to create models for a cityscape, miniatures of buildings, you know, but there was always something real in the screen.
I know that you talked to futurists a lot when you were kind of designing the world, talking to them about what the future might hold, what it might look like. Is there something that you learned from these futurists that maybe altered the original ideas of the film?
No, because what we learned as we were talking with scientists is that we were in the right direction.
Which was?
But the thing, I don't want to give too much spoilers. From a climate point of view, it's like it was quite nightmarish.
Yeah, climate change?
Yeah.
Environmental collapse, let's say, is a theme of the film. I would say the first Blade Runner movie is very dark. This movie is downright bleak. And I would kind of use that word to describe most of your films, with the exception of Arrival. Why are you so glum?
But I will say that it was important for me to have sparks of beauty in this world too. I mean, it's a difficult environment, but beauty still exists. People are struggling to bring beauty even in the trash.
I will say all of the protagonists in your movies, as I'm thinking about it, are kind of struggling to do something optimistic in the face of what seem like crushing odds.
Maybe that's the way I feel as a human being right now. I'm worried, but I'm trying to. I don't want to be cynical. That would be the end. I try to keep hope even in the darkest moments. Yeah.
We have two questions we ask everyone on the show. The first one is: if we were to meet you at a dinner party, what question should we not ask you?
How I became a filmmaker, because the truth is that I'm not sure what is the answer. It's like I tried to figure out a clever idea, but I can't.
There's not this kind of like great origin tale.
I was not visited by any extraterrestrial, or I didn't see a ghost coming.
It sounds like it wouldn't make a great movie. Let's ask you our second question, which is, tell us something we don't know. And this can be about anything. Yourself, a piece of trivia randomly about the world that you learned.
Something that you don't know.
Something that'll kind of blow our minds at a party.
Oh boy, that's a tough one.
Here's something that I didn't know about you until I came here to interview you today. Out in our hospitality room for all the critics, they were showing off the special Johnny Walker scotch that is Blade Runner themed, and they said that they created it in collaboration with you. I'm curious, as a filmmaker, what you brought to the creation of a blend of scotch.
That was a strange experience. The thing is that first, you have to know that in the first movie, the main character played by Harrison Ford is drinking Johnny Walker. And at the time, they had designed a special bottle. It's a Johnny Walker of the future, you know? And all the Blade Runner fans know about that in the first movie. And in the second one, to my great, great, great surprise, Johnny Walker came later saying, you know what? We're thinking to make a real whiskey that will go in that bottle. And we would like to create that with you. And there's a man that came to my house, and I created with the man, me, that is not an expert at all, I created a blend that was one of the strangest, and that blend needed to be inspired by my movie for specific qualities.
Does it have, the first thing I think of when I think of Blade Runner is like smog.
Yeah, that the smokiness, you know, there was an essence that represented smoke.